in the words that God has given us. Now, there are many out there who try to dispute and discount the Word of God. There are some out there that will say that the Bible is misogynist, that it's against women, but I'll remind you of the women that are highlighted throughout Scripture. Eve, the mother of all. We have Miriam, the sister of Moses, who saved him and helped him. And then we go and we look at Ruth and the study there. And there's so many women throughout Scripture that God uses to bring about the gospel. Without a woman, Jesus Christ would have never been born. Without a woman, none of us would be here. And I've heard it said before that if men had to have babies, there wouldn't be very many babies. And there's a lot of truth to that. And we read in John 21, it says, when a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. And I'm so thankful. You know, I almost didn't come into existence. You can ask my Aunt Jane, my brother, the perfect angel and saint that he is, my mama swore she was not going to have another child after dealing with him. But I came along a little over a year later. And then my baby sister was born about 6 years later. So I'm so thankful for mothers who love their children and love the baby so much they're willing to go through that 9 months of agony and the moments of pain in giving birth to bring children into the world. I don't care what society says, when they champion transgenderism, to me that's misogynist. That's telling a woman there's nothing special about you. I'm a man. If I want to be a woman, all I have to do is say the word and you have to accept me. Well, that's the biggest lie straight from hell there ever was. Women are made special by God. Women endure more than men do. Women are very, very special in the eyes of God, and I am blessed to be able to be here and to help present a sermon to you that will uplift mothers and help teach and train young ladies to become good mothers, because it's not easy. If we were talking back there earlier, and you know, God loves us. Through our imperfections, God loves us. And I'm so thankful that God loved us so much that he sent his son to die in our place. I was trying to explain to someone the other day the leading of the Holy Spirit. Without having the Holy Spirit, you can't understand this. But when the Holy Spirit tells you to move, if you don't move, you feel troubled. You're not at ease with what's going on. And so when you make a decision, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you if you'll listen to him. And I can imagine that God sometimes has the same look on his face that I had when I was raising our children. Every once in a while, God's got to look down on me and go, why is he doing that when I told him not to? So I'm so thankful for mothers who don't kill us. And understand, as a grandparent, that grandchildren are our reward for not selling our children to gypsies. Because grandchildren are the light of our lives. We love our grandchildren. We love our children. But all of a sudden, we do have McDonald's money. We do allow the ball to be thrown in the house. We will allow things for our grandchildren that we wouldn't allow for our children. But there's a different love there. And if we've done a good job raising our children, they will do a good job raising their children. As we read here in 2 Timothy, Paul acknowledges Timothy's mother and grandmother and what they did in raising him. So today we're looking at raised right. God bless our mothers. God bless our grandmothers. Now, I'll be brutally honest, and Mom, if you're going to watch this on YouTube or Facebook later, let me start out by saying I love my mother. She had a tough job. She raised two hellion little boys and a spoiled little girl without the help of a husband. Dad was in the Navy. He was a career Navy man. And Mom and Dad divorced when I was young. So Mom had the arduous task of raising all three of us children. And the way me and my brother fought, it's amazing we had a home with standing walls to live in. So my mom endured a lot in raising us. But Mom had a spiritual issue as I was growing up. She thought because she had gotten divorced that salvation was beyond her grasp. Now, I'm thankful to stand here and tell you my mother is saved. She's in church this morning. What a godly woman and grandmother that she has turned out to be. But I didn't get saved when I was a child. I wasn't drugged to church every time the doors were open. I had grandparents that took me to church. And so I'm so thankful for godly grandmothers. And my mom's mom, my grandma Mossy, she was an awesome lady of God. And my grandfather, Grandpa Kelly, was as well. But my granny, Jane's mom, my dad's mother, what a godly woman she was. If you were at her house, you were hearing about Jesus. You were watching Walker, Texas Ranger, but you were hearing about Jesus. And if you were there on Sunday morning, there was no ifs, ands, or buts. You were going to church. And I'll never forget her funeral as my eldest cousin, Butch, stood there and read a letter that my grandmother had written specifically for him to read at her funeral. She did more soul winning from the casket than I do on a typical Sunday morning. She preached the gospel from beyond the grave. She had written the words down for him to speak to us as we sat there and we mourned her passing. You see, my granny was one of these women that everybody wanted to be around. She was so full of love and she could make breakfast like nobody's business. You didn't sleep past 5 a.m. at her house because the smell wouldn't allow you to. You had to get up and go to the table. You were being fed well when you were at my granny's house. But she constantly prayed for me. You see, she introduced me to the Lord at a young age, but I never accepted. I ran from the church. I ran from God. I ran from salvation for years, but she never ceased to pray for me. Every time I talked to her, the words were always, "Do you have them babies in church? Are you and Sherry taking the kids to church? Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you praying every day?" My dad, who is a pastor, when I talked to him, it was, "Well, you need to be in church, son. If you go to church, you'll have a better week, trust me." And that, I loved that advice. That was very true advice. But no one shamed me about Jesus like my grandma did, my granny did. She constantly talked to me about Jesus. She made sure that I knew that she was praying for me. And one of the regrets that I have in my life is she passed before I answered the call to preach. Now, I know that God gives them a glimpse of their fruit while they're up in heaven. We are told in the book of Hebrews that we are surrounded by a great witness. So I believe that my granny does know that her prayers bore fruit. That her grandson, as imperfect as I am and as flawed as I am, was called by God to preach the gospel. I wish she would have had an opportunity to hear a sermon that I preached. But you're here, and you're going to hear a sermon that I preached today. And I hope that you will take to heart these words. Now, dads, your day's coming next month, and I'm a little harder on the dads than I am the women, because understand that men are called to be the spiritual head of the household. Husbands, dads, you are directly responsible for the spiritual health of your wife and children. There's no getting out of it. Scripture tells us that men are held responsible. Understand that Eve was the one that fell for the tricks of the devil in the Garden of Eden, but it was Adam who took the blame for Eve's failure to be obedient. That's not to say that women get off scot-free. As you know the gospel, ladies, you are directly responsible to God for your own salvation, especially if your husband has tried to lead you in a way that pleases God. But parents and grandparents, we are responsible to make sure that these children are raised right. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That doesn't mean that they're not going to backslide. That doesn't mean that you're not going to have heartache and headaches over the decisions that they make. I'm going to be doing a wedding in a couple of weeks. My oldest child is getting married. But he has fallen from the church. He has fallen from service to God. He has not denied his faith, but he has walked away from it. And so when I do his wedding, understand that I already have two grandchildren by him out of wedlock. That does not look bad on me. He was raised right. He made the decision to have children out of wedlock. Now, he's not beyond salvation. He's not beyond forgiveness. He is making it right by marrying his fiance, and I am blessed to be able to officiate their wedding. Because we all make mistakes. We all fall short. As we raise our children, we're going to make mistakes raising our children. None of us are perfect in the rearing of our children. We will make mistakes, but how we deal with those mistakes are going to teach our children a whole lot. How we handle our own shortcomings will teach our children things that we can't verbally express to them. Understand that your children look up to you to be the godly example. That means when you mess up, how you handle your mess up speaks volumes to how your children are going to handle their own mistakes. We have an epidemic in our country today where young people are being shot by police because they're obstinate. They fight against authority. They feel like they're able to do whatever they want to do with no repercussions, and that no one should be able to hold authority over them. I blame parents in most of those cases because those children were never taught to obey authority. Parents, grandparents, we need to teach our children to be obedient to authority. One thing that we all need to understand at an early age is you are going to answer to somebody. You are not sovereign. You are not free to make decisions and escape the consequences of your decisions. If you're married, you answer to a spouse. We are commanded, men, to love our wives as Christ loved the church, willing to give up our own lives for their well-being. Ladies, you are commanded to submit and obey yourselves unto your husband. And when we do those things, we have a happy, healthy marriage. Not perfect, like Harold and Karen celebrating 52 years of wedded bliss without a single argument their whole life. Right? You're right. Guys, there's going to be problems. There's bumps in the road. There's obstacles. Satan is looking to trip up your marriage. He wants nothing better than to ruin your witness in front of your children to lead them away from God. Every mistake we make, Satan will use as an attempt to pull people away from God when they see flaws in the Christian. It's how we handle those flaws that speak volumes to those around us and to our children as well. If you got to fill in the blank sheet, number one, we need to understand that we need to raise our children to have morals. God has written His moral law on our hearts. We all know right from wrong, but we have to we have to exercise the moral authority that God has given us over our children. We can't allow them to make decisions on their own that's going to be detrimental to their future. To allow a child to say, I was born the wrong gender, that child is confused. You don't play into their confusion. You help and you guide them along the way. They need to understand that they are made in the image of God. They are made the way they are because God wanted them to be that way. And I've shared with people before as I preach, when it comes to the difference of men and women, there is an undeniable fact. My wife makes a much better lady than I ever will. Because I just don't have the legs for it, for one. When I wear a pair of shorts, people say, Pastor, are you riding a chicken? But she absolutely makes a much better wife and mother than I could ever pretend to be. But on the same note, I make a much better man and dad than she ever could. And together, we make a parental unit that God uses to raise godly children. And you are the same way. The epidemic in this country that's causing so many children to lose their way is the lack of fathers in the home. Specifically, the lack of godly fathers in the home. Because as the man goes, the family will follow. The majority of moms that go to church without their husband will lose their children to the world because dad doesn't follow. When dad comes to church, 97% of the family ends up being saved. When mom comes to church, mom gets saved, one or two of the kids might follow suit. So men, help your wife raise your children. Nothing irks me more than to have someone say to a woman, where's your kids? Oh, well, they're at home with their father. Well, how'd you get him to babysit? Fathers, you do not babysit your children. You raise your children. You should never consider it babysitting when you are raising your children. But we have a solemn duty before God as we are blessed with children to raise them right. Proverbs 31, verses 26 and 27 says, her mouth speaks wisdom and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activity of her household and is never idle. A mother's job is never done. Women have the almost impossible task of watching over her children to make sure they don't make the stupid mistakes. Now, one thing that wives can rely on, and my wife did this to my children, because I worked outside of the home, she worked inside of the home. Make no mistake about it, her job was every bit as important, if not more important than mine. I supplied the table with food and a roof over their head. She was supplying the world with responsible adults in the future. That job is vitally, vitally important in the society that we live in today. So, mom, do you constantly have words of wisdom and instruction on your tongue? Or do your children learn four-letter words because you can't hold your temper? Something for you to talk to God about, not to the pastor. You talk to God about that. Because we tend to lose our temper with our children rather easily. So we must be careful how we talk to our children and what we say to our children. Make sure that you're speaking words of life and wisdom to your children and your grandchildren. And there's nothing wrong with making sure that your children and grandchildren have the drug problem. And I'm talking about them being drugged to church even when they don't want to go. We need to bring our children up under the admonition of the Lord and the fear of the Lord understanding that there are real consequences for bad decisions, because the world will try to pull them away from God, away from the church, and away from responsibility, and entice them into doing things that will be detrimental to them in the future. We need to quit trying to be our children's friend and be our children's parents, teaching them from the Bible. Number two, raise children to have respect. This goes hand in hand with what I was talking about earlier with respect to authority. When a police officer pulls you over, he is not the judge and the jury. He should not have to enact the death penalty on the side of the road because someone is threatening their life, or someone is fighting against them, or someone is putting their life in danger. Children should learn to respect that authority and wait till they go in front of the judge. It's the same as listening to your pastor. I'm not here to judge your salvation. I'm not here to judge your eternity. I am God's police officer, and I'm going to point out when you break the law, because one day you will stand in front of the judge. The only way out of it is to have Jesus Christ be your defense attorney. Because Jesus Christ will take his robes off from the bench and come down and stand next to you and say, I took it for them. Put their punishment on me. They are innocent because of what I've done. You don't have that luxury here in this world. You break the law, you pay the consequence. We need to teach our children that there are consequences for breaking man's law and for breaking God's law, but we need to teach our children to have respect. And parents, grandparents, it starts in the home. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Stop trying to be your child's bestie and be their parent. Train them up and raise them with respect to God and His Word. Bring them to the fear of the Lord, teaching them that you need to have other people's well-being in place of your own. That was what Jesus taught us. We are to think of others more highly than we think of ourselves. It's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's about who's in your life, who's around you, and how you can serve them. And it starts at home with forcing your children to have respect for their parents. And now there are many children today that have been taught to call their parents toxic. They have been taught that if their parents have a different political view than them, it's okay to disown your parents. Don't go around them. Don't talk to them. Don't have anything to do with them. If you disagree with mom and dad, just cut them out of your life. That goes against everything that God has taught us. Whether they are worthy of respect, whether they are worthy of honor or not, we are commanded to honor our parents. Young people, pay attention. You're not always going to like mom and dad. As a matter of fact, I had a talk with a young lady yesterday who's getting ready to turn 13, and I let her know a little secret. And many of y'all know this secret, and it's okay to share it with your children and talk about it, but when you get to about the age of 12 to 13, till you're in your mid-20s, you understand that mom and dad are the dumbest individuals you've ever met in your life. Mom and dad are just the stupidest people. They don't understand. And then you reach that magical age when some wisdom starts creeping in and you realize, man, I really messed up. They knew a whole lot more than I gave them credit for. And I am pleased to say that both of my parents have received phone calls from me begging for forgiveness because I really messed up when I was young. I didn't stop and think that mom and dad weren't always 30, 40, and 50 years old. You realize your parents were a teenager once? You realize your parents made stupid decisions at one time? Now, I am very thankful that there was no phones with cameras in them and social media back when I was making my stupid decisions, so there's no proof out there, but I will stand and tell you I made plenty of stupid decisions as a child in direct opposition to my parents' teaching. But I learned that they were right. And so we need to start at a young age teaching our children to have that respect that they need for their parents and for authority. Understand, if your children do not respect you, they're not going to respect anybody. So they need to learn that respect. As I said earlier, for the rest of your life, you are going to serve somebody. I'm here to urge you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't worry about your boss at work. You don't worry about anybody else that holds authority over you. Because when Jesus is the Lord of your life, you're going to make better decisions. You're not going to break the law. You're not going to do things that get yourself fired. It's when you fall out from underneath of His teaching and guidance that you make the stupid mistakes. Make Jesus the Lord of your life first and forehand. But have respect. There are many people that don't respect the church. They don't respect the pulpit. They don't respect the altar. They don't respect the sanctuary. We'll go through here at the end of a service and we pick up empty water bottles. We pick up candy wrappers. We pick up used tissues. We pick up all kinds of trash out of this sanctuary when we leave here. Now, I understand that you may forget something sitting there. I get that. But for me, when we pick up two trash cans full of stuff from here, that shows a lack of respect for this sanctuary. This is God's house. This is the house God has blessed us with to meet together as believers to worship Him. We need to have respect for God, His Word, His authority, and His house. We need to have, adults, we need to have respect. How can you expect your children to learn respect if you don't respect authority? We need to have a healthy respect for authority. Number three, we need to raise children to have wisdom. The sad fact is, in the majority of households across America, the woman ends up being the spiritual leader in the household because dad is either absent or he just won't do it. And so it's on mothers to pick that up and be the spiritual leader that your children need. And I'm so thankful for moms who are willing to step up and be that spiritual leader. But it's a very difficult task. One of the best ways to do that, mom, is to read the Bible to your children. Pray with your children. Introduce them to Jesus at an early age. Now, I'm not saying that you indoctrinate children into faith. I'm saying you give them the option so that they can make the decision when the time comes. But if you don't introduce them to Jesus, the school and the world absolutely will not. And the best way to get them to understand Jesus and to have wisdom is to bring them to church. Proverbs 1:7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and discipline. Discipline is never fun. That's why it's called discipline. Work is never fun. That's why it's called work. Recreation is fun. Call it recreation. We rest. But we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord. There are many preachers that will preach on the fear of the Lord and they'll say, well, it doesn't mean you're afraid of God. It means you have respect. No, fear God. Be afraid. God created you. God set the standard. He gave you His Word, and in His Word He tells you that faith in Jesus is the only way to be reconciled to Him and to not fear the punishment of sin for eternity. Fear the Lord, the one who made you and the one who holds your eternity in His hands. The wrath of God is a very, very fearful thing. Those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are under the wrath of God, and they should be very afraid of facing that wrath. Our fear of the Lord will cause us to obey Him. The fear of the Lord will cause us to seek Him, seek His Word, and seek to be obedient to what He calls us to do. Because Scripture tells us that those of us in Christ, there is no condemnation and there is no fear because we have the love of God. Those in Christ don't worry about the wrath of God, but we're obedient to Him because we had that fear of Him. We know what He's capable of doing. We know what our future holds if we don't put our faith in Jesus. And so our fear causes us to come to Him, find the love of Christ, and no longer live in fear. But there needs to be a fear of God in order to gain the wisdom that we need to get through this life. You see, fools despise wisdom and discipline. And because fools will say there is no God, there is no afterlife, there is no judgment, they will face the discipline that God has for eternity. And that discipline involves being separated from God for eternity in a place called hell that is not a very nice place to visit. It is a place of torture. It is a place without hope, without love. But many will face that because they never knew the love of Christ. But Mom, Grandma, we take joy when our children come to the Lord. We take joy when our children know Christ. Children, we take joy when Mom, Dad, Grandma, and Grandpa know the Lord. Nothing sadder than doing a funeral for a family whose family member didn't know Christ. Because they'll come to me and I'm not the Pope. I'm not going to lie to a little boy. If your parents don't know Jesus, they will go to hell. If Grandma and Grandpa didn't know Jesus, they will go to hell. If you don't know Jesus, you will go to hell. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's what God has said. I cannot pray someone into heaven. I cannot preach someone into heaven. But oh, what a joyful occasion when the family is saved and Grandma knew the Lord and talked about Jesus and made sure her family knew Jesus. What a joyous occasion to come together. The two funerals we went to last week, both of them, joyful occasions because we knew that person was in the presence of Jesus Christ at that moment. They lived their lives in such a way there was no doubt about their salvation. And so we took great joy that they had wisdom when they lived in this life. They put their faith in Jesus Christ and they lived their lives serving Him until He called them home. The third book of John in verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than this to hear that my children are walking in truth. I take great joy in the fact that I have witnessed all three of my children being baptized. Now I pray that they are saved. I pray that they will rely on God, that they will attend church regularly, that they will serve the Lord well, so that in the unlikely event that I have to attend their funeral, I don't have to mourn over where they might be. And the fact that they know that their mother and myself serve the Lord and we love the Lord, they can rejoice when we pass from this world to go into eternity. So we rejoice when we see our children walking in truth. Parents, grandparents, it's up to us to put them on that path to truth. And there's only one way to do it. John 14, 6, Jesus himself said, I am the way. He didn't say, I am a way, or I will show you the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus is the way. And he says, I'm the truth, not I will reveal the truth to you, not you can find truth through me. He says, I am the truth. And then he says, and the life. We have life on this earth. We are born into a world that is full of sin, full of hate, against God, owned, operated, and run by the devil himself. And God loves us so much that he sent us the way and the truth and the life. Jesus himself said, I came to give them life and give it in abundance. Are you living an abundant life? Not prosperity preaching, mind you. Just because you have an abundant life in Christ, you might still be poor. You might still get cancer. You might still lose loved ones. You might get laid off from work Monday morning. Just because you're in Christ doesn't mean your life will be easy, but it will be abundant. Why? Because you know the one who made life, created life, gave you life, and you put your life in his hands. And we can rely on Romans 8:28 that all things, not some things, we know that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. If you don't know Jesus, you don't have life. You're living right now. You'll be on this earth for a while, but let me tell you, this life is but a vapor. That's what Scripture teaches us, and it's the truth. We are like the grass in the field, one day here, one day withered and gone. One day your name will come up and God will require your life to be over on this earth. You don't know when that day is. But Jesus, and I love when Scripture says, but Jesus or but God, because it gives us a way out. Mom, Grandma, this is your day. We celebrate you. Thankful, so thankful for moms who are willing to bring their kids to church. So thankful for moms who are willing to raise their children under the admonition of the Lord. So thankful that you are here, but your mama can't save you. Oh, I wish a praying grandmother could save you. I'd be fishing this morning. I wouldn't be here. Praying mothers do so much. Praying grandmothers do so much. But child, if you're not willing to listen and learn and obey, you don't have a whole lot of hope in this world. Because we are told that we are to pick up our cross daily, deny ourselves, and follow the way, the truth, and the life, in order to have the salvation that we seek. And there are many who will claim they're not seeking salvation. They're not worried about eternity. There are some saying, well, I'm not worried if I spend eternity apart from God. You don't understand just how tragic that is. You don't understand how awful hell is going to be. You see, when you're in hell, you can't cry out to your mommy. You can't go get your boo-boo kissed and make everything okay. You can't cry out to God because you're already there. Once you leave this earth, your options are done. You have no other choice. And so, mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, are you worried about your children and your grandchildren and where they'll spend eternity? Maybe you're here and you're a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa and you're not sure about your own eternity. The reason God called me to preach is because I can give you a warning and a way out. The good news of the gospel. Praise God for the good news of the gospel. Because Scripture teaches us that when we come to Christ at that moment, not when you get baptized, not when you go to Sunday school, not when you drop money in the plate, the moment you come to Jesus Christ to make Him the Lord of your life, salvation is granted unto you. You are immediately justified in the eyes of God. But it's not going to happen if you don't step out in faith and make Jesus your Lord and Savior.